Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to kick off season 2 of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. It's called We Are REC. Every week we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify. Just do a quick search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Casey Hollins from Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Casey, I think we're going to be talking storm prep today.
Yes, storm prep. So especially winter storm prep, especially up here in the mountains. You guys, if it snows, I bet it's a beautiful winter wonderland. But for us, that winter weather can just wreak havoc on the electric system. And we take steps throughout the year to be prepared so that we can respond to those weather conditions. And what I'm here today to talk about is how member owners just like you can take steps to be prepared so that if you do have a major winter weather event that causes a power outage, you have everything you need in one easy to access place and you don't have to scramble around to try to find flashlights and batteries.
And I think that's great, too, because it's probably the one thing that none of us, oh, I'm not going to need it until we need it. And then we're kicking ourselves for not having put one together. So now is the time. Just go ahead and do it. Mark it off your list and gather these things up.
Yes. So it doesn't really matter what you put your storm prep kit in. You can go buy one of the plastic bins at the dollar store. You can put it in a tote. You can put it in some other container, slip it under your bed. Just make sure you've got all of these items that I'm about to recommend in one location that you can easily access. So the number one thing that we recommend that you put in your storm prep kit is flashlights and fresh batteries. Mm-hmm. The worst thing ever is to have to try to go through your house in the dark and find some source of light. And so we recommend making sure that you have flashlights that work with fresh batteries. And we recommend these over candles because candles are a fire hazard.
Right.
So if you must rely on a candle, try to do that temporarily and really rely more on flashlights and batteries. We also recommend that you have bottled water. What you'll need if you're going to be in an outage situation that lasts multiple days is 1 gallon per person per day. And that is for drinking water. And another thing related to water, and this isn't really something that you can put in your kit, but it's a good tip to put in your back pocket. And that is if you live in a home that has well water, which a lot of our members do, you won't be able to, or you shouldn't try to use your well water because your well pump isn't going to be working because there's no power. So at first, there might be some water that comes out, but if you continue to try, it could damage your well pump. So fill your bathtubs up. If you know that a storm is coming, fill your bathtubs up and use that water to boil for cleaning, to flush the toilets with, because you won't be able to flush the toilets either. So stick that in your back pocket or write it on a note and stick it in your storm kit. You'll also want to make sure that you have non-perishable foods that won't require heating. If you are really savvy and you know how to cook up something good over a campfire, then that's great. But some people won't be able to. So you want to make sure you have those non-perishable foods to eat. And if it's a canned item, you want to make sure you have a non-electric hand-operated can opener. Or by the pull tops. Yes, that's right. Make sure you have extra blankets or bedding. And you might not want to put all of your blankets and bedding in your storm prep kit. And if you're like me, in my house, I have all of those things in one place. So whenever we've had a power outage, we can just go to that closet and get the extra blankets we might need. But do put one or two extras in your storm kit if you can. Make sure that you have a first aid kit. Make sure that you have extra medications in your storm prep kit with your first aid kit, because you never know what might happen during that time and you'll want to be able to get to those things quickly. Make sure you have a variety of hand tools. No power tools, just your traditional hand tools and cash. Surprisingly, a lot of people, well, it's not surprisingly, but a lot of people don't carry cash anymore. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
But in a power outage situation, I'm likely not going to be able to use my debit or credit card. So if I do need to go to the store because the store is open, they likely are accepting cash only. So you want to be able to get what you need in that situation. So make sure you have cash. If you have elderly relatives that you take care of, you want to make sure you have any items that they would need. And the same if you have really small children or babies in your home, make sure that you have extra formula or any of the other supplies like diapers that a baby would need.
And the key thing is, as crazy as it sounds, think about all of these zombie apocalypse movies and all of the times when they're in some situation, and when you have power, you forget what you use power for. I can't tell you, very few times have we lost power at my house. And you guys have always been phenomenal, I will say, about getting it back on quickly. But I cannot tell you how many times I walk into a room and turn on a light switch and not even realize, oh, wait, the power is out. And it's probably a light switch I wouldn't have turned on anyway. There's something about not having access to it.
Yes. So let me tell you, those zombie apocalypse shows have me on like terror mode. And I have begged and begged my husband to build me a bunker. And if I had a bunker, I would stock it full of all these things so that I could survive because I don't want to fight the zombies. But in a power outage situation, I don't want to be caught off guard either. And one of the most challenging things, and it might feel like a zombie, are kids who can't figure out what to do, especially in the winter, because you can't spend as much time outside in the winter as you could maybe in the summer. So in addition to these items, make sure that you have some types of activities for your kids to do. That could be board games. If you have small children, it might be coloring. And one of the things that I've done is to make sure that my laptop computer has been charged, and I haven't been able to rely on this throughout the entire power outage. But if we waited until after dark, we could watch a movie and gather around the laptop computer. So just keep those things in mind, because it might make you feel like you're fighting zombies.
And that's the same thing when you talk about filling the bathtub, you know, because typically these storms don't come out of nowhere. There's at least some warning. We may be getting bad weather. I'll go through the house and I'll plug my cell phone in. I'll plug anything in that I know needs a charge in the hours before, as I'm listening to the forecast, just to make sure I have full power to everything.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great reminder. And remember, if you live in a really rural area as well, that you want to make sure you have your vehicle fueled up with gas. Mm-hmm. Some people do keep extra supplies of fuel at their homes, and that's great. But if you don't, make sure you do get gas and fill up your car, because you could in a pinch go out and charge up your mobile device if your charge runs low. And you'll want to have those. A lot of people don't have landline phones anymore. So if you don't have a landline phone, you want to make sure that your phone is charged up so that you, in an emergency, can reach someone. If you do still have a landline phone, but you are using a cordless phone, in your storm kit, you should have one of the old-fashioned ones that isn't cordless.
That you actually have to plug into the wall and has a cord and everything.
Yes, because that's what you're going to depend on. In my home, I live in Louisa County, and where I live, I have really bad cell phone service. So I wouldn't even be able to make a call from my mobile phone. So we still have our landline phone, and we do have one of those old-fashioned phones in our storm prep kit. And I have had to use it to call REC to report my power outage. So we want to make sure that you're prepared for that as well.
And that's the key. You mentioned cash to run to the grocery store. Gas is another good example. Yes. If you can get out and have to go get gas, if there's no power, you're not going to be able to pay at the pump.
That's right. You're going to need that cash. So we don't want you to get your entire life savings, but get enough to make it through a couple days, because hopefully the conditions won't be so severe that we wouldn't be able to restore your power as quickly as possible. If it takes us a week to restore power, then it has been a very significant storm. And we have had those. And the reason it takes so long to restore the power is because of the number of downed trees, the number of poles that have to be replaced, and just how time consuming all of that work is to get done. So we don't want that to happen, but if it does, we want you to be prepared.
And that's a case where entire neighborhoods are being affected. And the other thing that I would just personally want to add is, then go check on your neighbors.
Yes.
Because just because you were prepared and have checked all of these boxes for everything in your storm prep kit, maybe the guy next door or the little old lady two doors down didn't. So get out and go check on them and make sure that they're okay.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Neighbors helping neighbors. And, you know, they might have family that normally looks in on them, but their family might be snowed in or might not be able to get out of wherever they're living and can't check on them. So please, we encourage that as well. Another thing that we want to make sure our members are aware of is that if even if you do live in a neighborhood or you can see your neighbor's house however far away, that doesn't mean that the power has been reported as being out. So all of our members, whenever you have a power outage, you should report your power outage. And we offer a variety of ways for members to do that. You can call our 1-800 number. That's 1-800-552-3904. And there's an automated system that you just click a few buttons and you report your power outage, and that's great. If you don't want to use the phone, we do have an online feature. You can use the MyRec Smart Hub app, or you can go straight to our website and click the report outage button. And that really helps us to make sure that we're aware of all of the power outages across our system. We also have an outage center, and the outage center, the purpose of that is to keep you informed throughout the power outage. We have an outage map that includes details such as the number of our members that are affected, the number of crews that are en route, if a crew has been assigned to your outage, and when available, the estimated restoration time, as well as the cause. So once we know what the cause of your power outage is, that will be included there as well.
I really like the outage map, particularly as an employee of a radio station where a lot of people depend on us to know what's going on. And maybe one area of our listening area is out of power, but the other isn't. Mm-hmm. We had an issue last year with, I think there was a fire or something on the other side of the county, and it was causing power outages. I was able to use the MyRec app to look and see whether they had power, even though it wasn't anywhere near where I was, and be able to report back, this many people are still without power. This is what their estimated time of getting it back up and running is.
That's exactly right. And for our member owners, sometimes the storm conditions in your backyard, you might not see any damage at all. But if you do look at our outage map, you can't really get a visual sense, but you can get a good idea of how many people are being affected. And if you see a widespread number of people affected, then you know that something pretty significant has happened, like an ice storm or a snowstorm. If you do want to know really what the damage is like that our crews are facing, on our Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter, we provide as close to real-time updates as possible. And so my employees are going out into the field when conditions are safe, mm-hmm. and they're taking pictures of the damage. A lot of times our members will send in pictures of damage. And that's another thing. If you see a downed power line in your neighborhood or in your yard or whatever the case may be, then we want you to let us know about that damage. And it's really important for our members to stay away from downed power lines, because even in a power outage, you don't know if that power line is de-energized, and it could be deadly if you do touch it. Sometimes during a storm, trees will fall and power lines will fall in the roadways, or sometimes they'll even droop in the roadways, which will cause conditions to prohibit people from driving. And again, don't go near those power lines because it's incredibly dangerous. Instead, what you should do is first call your local 911 and then call us and let us know. But we have a really strong relationship with the 911 agencies mm-hmm. throughout our service territory, and they'll do what they can to keep the area safe until we get there to de-energize the line or verify that the line has been de-energized. But safety is our number one priority for our members and our employees.
One of our previous podcast episodes was entitled The Forgotten First Responders.
Yes.
Because that happens in a lot of cases where fire and rescue get on scene for a downed power line, but they're not trained or capable of dealing with it. And they have to wait for you guys to get there to be able to make it safe for them to then finish up whatever else needs to
be
done.
Yes, that's right. So what they do is they arrive on scene and they ensure the scene is safe. And really what that means is blocking off the road. So if there's a power line in the road and we haven't already confirmed that it's de-energized, they're going to block off the roadway to prohibit people from driving over it. And so, yeah, they can't move the line. They can't do anything because we want them to stay safe as well.
And you mentioned a good point earlier, too, about reporting the outage, mm-hmm. because I think we live in a society where everybody assumes the other person has already done it. And you can't do that anymore.
Right.
Even if you, and it's a random act, a transformer blows on a spring evening, and it's not necessarily storm related, and you see that your neighbor's house doesn't have lights just like yours doesn't, don't assume they're reporting it. Report it anyway.
Right. That's right. And I will say that REC is incredibly innovative, and we have a lot of advanced technology throughout our electric system, but that doesn't mean you still shouldn't report your power outage. So every member, if you ever experience a power outage, always report it. And sometimes you might live in a neighborhood and you might not have power, and you assume that everyone around you doesn't have power as well, when they really do. And if you don't report the outage to your individual home, then we won't know to come out and restore it. So in some cases, there are automated systems that work to let us know during a widespread event, but always report your power outage. It's very important.
The other cool thing about the Smart Hub app, and I know we've talked about that in previous podcasts, is even if I'm at work or I'm away and there's a power outage at my house, I get a text.
Yeah, so you have to sign up for outage text alerts, and I'm glad you brought that up, because in a couple months, we're going to be changing our system. So anybody who had previously signed up for outage text alerts will need to sign up again in order to continue receiving those. So signing up is really easy. All you have to do is create a MyREC Smart Hub profile. If you have already created a MyREC Smart Hub profile, just go into the Manage Contacts area, add your phone number, you'll go through a verification process, and make sure you check the box that says receive text alerts, and then you'll get those during a power outage situation. And what we do is we send notifications that we're aware of a power outage in your area, that we're aware of a power outage at your individual residence. We'll let you know when crews are assigned, when crews are on site, once we have an estimated restoration time, and then once the power is restored, we'll let you know that the power has been restored and that whatever the cause might have been. And it's really great, like you said, if you're at work or if you're on vacation, because it just keeps you informed about what's going on at your home.
It's not happened to me very often, but there was one situation where something happened in my neighborhood and I got the text that it was out. Crews were on site, crews were fixing it, and it was all fixed and back up and running in the span of like 3 hours, and I was never home for any of it.
Right, but you knew, and it didn't have a negative impact on you because you were kept informed, and that's what is so great about our text alerts. And you'd be surprised, we don't have as many of our members who are signed up for that feature, and it's free. So definitely take time now and sign up for that in the Manage Contacts area of Smart Hub.
Now, if only I could get you to then go into my house and reset all of my clocks and everything from blinking. That would be awesome. But Casey, thank you for giving me all of this insight into StormPrep.
You're welcome.